Take your Bibles and go to Psalms, right in the middle of your Bible, Psalm 119. Psalm 119, and we're going to read verses 7 through 12. I'll read verse 7 and you read verse 8 with me. Psalm chapter 119, right in the middle there, and go to verse number 7. Psalm 119 and verse number 7. I will praise thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned thy righteous judgments. I will keep thy statutes, O forsake me not utterly. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto, according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee, O let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. And let's pray together. Father, you've given us so much, you've blessed us. Lord, we need you to help us, and you're the only one that can. Lord, beside you, there's no God, there's no truth, there's no help, there's no comfort. Lord, you're the source of everything that's good. So, Father, we just ask that you'd bless your word to our hearts this morning, please. Lord, we just ask this for your glory and for your honor. Please, in Jesus' name, amen. As we approach this topic, I know nobody in here will disagree with me because it's so clear in the Bible. What bothers me is everybody's going to agree with me, but hardly anybody's going to do anything about it. Psalm 119 is the largest chapter in your Bible. You'll notice it's in the largest book in your Bible, which is God's song book, the book of Psalms. God used Ezra to pen this psalm, and in 176 verses, all but four mention the Bible. Every verse that we read mentioned the Bible in some way. For instance, you'll see there it says, verse number 7, I will praise thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned thy righteous judgments. That's a name for the Bible. The Bible is mentioned in every verse except four. Okay, it's a wonderful thing to go through and see if you can figure out which four. Okay, it helps you kind of read it, analyzing it, and letting God speak to your heart. I just want to draw your attention. We're going to work our way down to verse 9 and 11. But just notice it's broken up into 22 8-verse segments. Starting in the first 8 verses, we'll start with the first Hebrew letter. That's what it's in your Bible right there as far as Aleph, I believe. All 8 of those verses start with Aleph. The next 8 start with Beth. The next start with Gimel. And each one of those letters, so this is a beautiful acrostic in your Bible about the Bible. Okay? So it's got many wonderful verses in it that should be marked in your Bible, verses that we refer to a lot. But let me just show you here. Look at verse 1. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. The law of the Lord is the Bible. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies, there's the Bible, and that seek him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. His ways is another name for the Bible. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts. There's another name for the Bible, thy precepts, diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. That's another name for the Bible. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments. That's another name for the Bible. Look at verse 7. Of course, I've already pointed to you the righteous judgments. Look at verse 8. I will keep thy statutes. There's the Bible again. Oh, forsake me not utterly. Then he says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? And the answer, by taking heed thereto according to thy word. I'm going to show you this morning. This psalm teaches us as you go through, okay, as you go through it, it teaches us that everything centers around the word of God, and God's word is what guides us. Somebody said, well, how do you know you're not wrapped up in a cult? You're wrapped up in a cult when the leader is trying to get you to do things that are not in the Bible. You say, well, this cult, I don't care if you want to go Jim Jones, I don't care if you want to go Jehovah's Witness, I don't care if you want to go Mormon,
the sign of a cult is when a man becomes the dictator and the leader of that religion, and the Bible becomes secondary. You're in a safe church when the preacher keeps saying, the Bible says, the Bible says, the Bible says, look at your Bible. It doesn't matter what I think. It matters what the Bible... That should be a... That's a pressure release for every child of God, right? So you're in a good church when you're reminded, this is what the Bible says. This psalm teaches us that God's Word, everything centers around the Bible. It teaches us that it's God's Word that guides us. You're there in Psalm 119, look at verse 105. Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I want God's direction. I want God's guidance. I want His Word to help me as I read it. I want Him to speak to my heart. Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet. This psalm teaches us that God's Word has the answer to every problem we'll ever face. Look at verse 128. Look at verse 128. Therefore I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way. I was teaching in the Christian school, and in the Christian school we would always pray before every class, and a dad that had his kids in the school, he was angry. He's a lost man. He wasn't saved. He said, I got to talk to you. And so this was about 10 years ago, and actually more like 12. I went over to his house and spent 3 hours. I sat down. This was the first things out of his mouth. He said, I just don't know why every class has to start with prayer. I said, because you can't learn anything without God. The fear of the Lord's the beginning of wisdom. He said, well, there's some things. He said, why does math class have to start with prayer? I said, because one plus one wouldn't equal two without God's truth and consistency. God upholds all things by His Word. I said, it's been that way and it'll stay that way because of who God is. Well, I'll let people talk, and he was a dad with his kids in the school, and he saw no reason for God. But yet he put his kids in a Christian school because he thought the malarkey that they were taught in the public school was stupid. Now, I'm glad he at least saw that, but he saw no use for the Bible. All I'm trying to tell you is, I took him to Psalm 119, 128, and I said, everything that you'll ever need to know is found in that book. You may not know where it's at, but I'm telling you, everything in life that you'll ever need to know is found in God's Word. All God's precepts concerning all things. This is a wonderful psalm. I'm going to focus on the first part of it this morning, but now listen to me. If you hide something, okay, now let's all go back to verse 11. Ready? Let's go to our text verse here. One of the topics of this chapter is memorizing Scripture. Verse 11 says, Thy Word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against Thee. You say, are you sure? Look down at verse 15. I will meditate in Thy precepts and have respect unto Thy words. The word meditate means to think a thought to the end when you can't think about it anymore. God says we're to take a verse of Scripture and think and meditate on it and think, what is God saying in that verse? What does that mean? What's that word defined? What's that? And God says meditate in His Word. Okay, that means this is all done in the mind. And honestly, the whole theme is this. Does everybody understand when God penned His Word, nobody had their own Bible like you do right now? That's important to understand. When Psalm 119 was given through God, through Ezra, by God, nobody had a Bible like you have. You went to church to hear the Bible read, but nobody was allowed to touch the Scriptures. So how could you, in other words, the only way you could meditate on the Scripture was if, through the reading in the church, you memorized it. Then you took it home, and you would think about it at home. That's how come when you see the word meditate, it automatically means a memorized verse that you then think about. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Only begotten Son, not only Son. What's the word begotten mean? You understand? So I'm supposed to take a verse and meditate on it. But you meditate on it after you memorize it. Let's just show you this. We'll dive into this here in just a second. Look at verse number 16. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. Somebody's memorizing it, right? See what God's trying to teach it? Look at verse number 18. Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. I love praying that prayer when I read my Bible. Dear God, if you don't open my eyes, this is your book. I want to behold wonderful things, but it's God that teaches us his word through the Holy Spirit. So dear God, open my eyes. You've heard me pray that in here before I preach. Lord, open our eyes. Help us behold wonderful things out of thy law. Now, this morning, I wanted to cover, if you hide something in your heart, like verse 11 says, it's because you memorized it. Now listen closely, take it further than that. If it's in your heart, that involves emotion, and it is loved and desired. Somebody says, well, I don't have a very strong memory. Look, if you memorized any names on any football or basketball teams, it's because you love that sport. Nobody accidentally memorizes the numbers and football players on a team. They do it because that's my team, right? Their heart is there. So they hide that information in their heart. Now, the reason I'm telling you that is I want us to think about this morning why memorizing Scripture is so important. God tells us to do several things with His Word. We're supposed to read the Bible, Isaiah 34:16. We're supposed to study the Bible, 2 Timothy 2:15. We're supposed to memorize the Bible, Proverbs 2:1. We'll look at that this morning. We're supposed to sing the Bible. The whole book of Psalms is the Bible sung. Didn't we sing a verse this morning? Opening your Bible and singing Scripture. God wants us to do that. That's healthy spiritually, okay? And God wants us to meditate on Scripture. Joshua 1:8, the verses that we just looked at. As we look into the Bible together, I hope it teaches you ways to study your Bible. I'm talking the way I preach. Take your Bible and go here. Take your Bible and go here. I'm trying to pass on to you how to study your Bible. I'm not trying to show you what I know. I'm trying to show you what taught me, and the same book that taught me is the same book that can teach you. Amen? That's what I'm trying to show you. And I hope through time and through the preaching of the sermons that you get that. The things that we're told to do the most, though, with God's Word is meditate. God tells us to meditate on His Word, like we saw in verse 11. Now, listen closely. In our fast-paced society, memorizing Scripture is almost nullified because if you're going to memorize Scripture, it takes time and it takes work. Everybody wants to know, you know, the thing that sells, the easiest way to memorize the Bible. I got to buy that. There is no easy way. There are easier ways than others, but it all takes work. Okay? There are ways you can memorize where your mind receives it faster, but you're not going to learn. You don't memorize anything without repetition. Okay? It has to be repeated. There's no easy. It's all I can do as a pastor to encourage people to read their Bible consistently every day. But what we are to do with God's Word is so much more than just read it every day. I shouldn't be satisfied when I find out people are reading it because so few people read it every day. I just get happy. Oh, you read it? Whew. Wow. Well, you've not arrived if all you're doing is reading the Bible. And I hope you do, but there's a lot more to do with it. Amen? And I need to be careful as a pastor that I don't just stop there. Once I find out you're reading, well, good, let me show you how to study. Good, let me show you how to memorize it. Let me show you how to meditate in it. No, we're supposed to be doing a lot with that book you have in your hands. Amen? What we all need to know is that Scripture, think about this. When someone gets frustrated with Scripture memory, I always remind them that your memory is a muscle. Okay, think about what I just said. If you use it, it gets stronger. If you don't use it, you lose it. Right? Oh, I'm just not good at memory. Yes, you are. You remembered how to get to church. Well, that took memory work, right? If you've come more than four times, yeah, you remembered how to get to church. No, you remember what's dearest to your heart, and you remember what you repeat. And if you aren't careful, look, I'm talking about older Christians and younger. If you aren't careful, I've heard the young say, well, I'm just not very good at memorizing. Baloney. You memorize what you want to memorize. And if you're an older person, oh, my mind's going and I can't memorize anymore, you want to strengthen your mind? I would think if you're older and your memory's getting weaker, then you would want something to exercise it. What? So that it gets stronger. Don't cop out and say, oh, I just don't memorize things. People remember what channel their favorite show's on, at what time and what day of the week. They memorize all types of stuff. So don't take that. What I'd like to do is take a topic that God tells us to do, and really, this is a lot bigger than whether you want to or not. I'm going to make a strong statement here. You're commanded to put the Bible in your heart. God tells every one of us to hide His Word in our heart. And it's something, watch this, as I memorize Scripture, I started at one verse a day. I finally got to the point where I could memorize 6 verses in a day. You know why? Because that memory was getting stronger and stronger and stronger. And I could memorize passages at a time. That didn't start that way. I started one verse a day. If that's too much, this plan here says start one verse a week. But you got to start somewhere. Don't cop out and go, oh, memory. We're commanded by God to memorize Scripture. Okay? Memorizing, look, I'll tell you this. We do remember. You remember jokes, songs, sports. It's all memory. We all need to know that Scripture memory is not for kids. Memorizing Scripture is a very spiritual activity for a Christian. Okay, just listen to this, and then I'll take you to some passages here this morning. As a matter of fact, why don't you go to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and just listen to me with these here. Fifth book in your Bible, Deuteronomy, back towards the front there. Watch this. Jesus told us, you're going to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Jesus told us in John 4, God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Then in John 6, Jesus said, it's the spirit that quickens, the flesh profits nothing. Wait a second, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. God is a spirit. And if you have a King James Bible, the words are spiritual words. And God's looking for people to worship Him in spirit. That's not spooky. Through the Bible. Amen? Through the Bible. Then, God tells us that the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. That book you have in your hand isn't like any other book. It's an eternal book. It always has been. You know what's a wonderful truth? That book you have in your hand, when we get to heaven, it'll be the only thing that was down here on earth that's in heaven. It's that book you have in your hands. Everything else burns. That book is supernatural. When you memorize it and put it in your life, it strengthens you. It is a spiritual book. Now, okay, the more you learn God's Word and hide it in your heart, the more insight and discernment God gives you with people. God tells you, you can discern who's righteous and who's wicked and who's wise and who's a fool. I love this thought. When you read the book of Psalms, it'll show you people that God gives you discernment on people that'll hurt you and people that aren't a threat to you. You say, where's that come from? I'm just telling you, this book is supernatural. It's an eternal book. It's the only book God ever wrote. You're in Deuteronomy chapter 6. God tells us we're prone to forget. Look at verse 5. Deuteronomy chapter 6, and look at verse 5. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. What words? How about starting with the verse number 5? Loving the Lord your God with all your heart and mind and soul. Look at verse number 7. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk with them, the children, when thou sittest in thy house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Does that sound like God wants you talking about His Word all the time? When you lie down, when you rise up, it ought to be one of the first things you see in the morning. I like what one parent did. One parent was able to, look, in this day and age, they printed off Bible verses, and they would put them on the ceiling so when their kids laid down at night, that was the last thing they saw and the first thing they saw in the morning when they got up. They were just trying to find ways of incorporating it. Did you know most Christian homes don't teach the Bible? And yet we're told to. God tells the husband, the man, to teach the Bible. Family devotions. It's sitting down and let's read the Bible together. God says every home is supposed to do it. Every home. And the more you put this Bible in, look, it's not a Christian home because everybody's saved. It's a Christian home because you do Christian activities. Right? I hope everybody's saved in your house. I really do. But that doesn't mean you have a Christian home. You have a Christian home if your home centers around the Bible. God says, put it everywhere in your house. Watch this. Look at verse number 8. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. You know what the Jews did? They took this passage of Scripture, put it on a small piece of paper, rolled it up, and frontlets, put it on their hands. They would make bracelets, and what would dangle is a little tube that had this Scripture in it. And when they'd walk, it would bang on their hand. Remind them, that's the Bible. And they could pull it out. If it wasn't memorized, they memorized it, put it back. He said, I want it on your hands. And they put that same tube, then they would take and put it on their foreheads, and then that tube would hang right here. And then it would... It reminded you, that's the Bible. I got my Bible with me. I got Scripture with me. Now, I'm not telling you to do that, okay? Everybody comes to church next week. You know, boop, boop, got one. Yeah, because of you. Thank you. Yeah. I am saying this. If you had the Bible in your home, I like putting on the mirror in the bathroom. Scripture that you're memorizing, you know? You're shaving. You know, you see it there. Put it on the refrigerator. Put it in the place you go the most. That was a joke. I wish you'd have heard that. Okay. He said, put it in your car. Put it in the rearview mirror. Right there. Put it right there across the top. What'd you get in a wreck for?
Because preacher said put tape over my mirrors.
Okay. All I'm telling you is, does everybody see the reminder the Jews had everywhere they went? God says, I want my word with you everywhere you go. And I want you to remind yourself, that's God's word. I'm putting that in my heart. Keep on going here. Watch this. Verse 9. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. You know what a post is, right? That's a doorway. They have things that hold Scripture on the front of the house instead of a doorbell. Normally back then you'd knock, right? Nobody had door. Y'all know nobody had doorbells, right? Okay. Ring the doorbell. Okay. No, when you knocked, there was a thing that held Scripture right there. They put the Bible on their post. Look, in this day and age when you can copy, paste, print, and you could literally put Bible anywhere you want, put it in your house. I like my wife put Bible verses on our walls. It's good. You see the verse in our house when you walk in. She put it on a frame. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You see that in the room. You see she's got Scripture on our bedroom walls. She's got Scripture right on the wall before you leave our house. In this day and age when you can do stuff with vinyl and make it look, you know, real elegant and all that. I'm just simply saying, did everybody see that? God says, write it everywhere in your house. Talk about it all the time. Then, look at verse 10. And it shall be, when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, when God saves you and God blesses you and gives you what he's given you, then look at verse number 12. Then beware lest thou forget the Lord which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Don't you forget God that saved you. Do you know how you do that? You keep his word. You memorize his word. You write his word. You put it in your house. You put it all over. Don't forget God that saved you. And that's what he's telling you. God wants us to have the Bible everywhere and to be reminded to fear him. Number one, how come I got four things this morning? How come you should memorize the Bible so you can always have God's precious word with you? The vaudois, I'm going to give you a little history here. The vaudois, we get the word vaudeville or low life from the French term vaud or valley. So the valley people who fled to northern Italy when persecution broke out in the early 3rd century from the Roman emperors, the Christians would head to the mountains and they'd make communities where they could, you know, you had a blacksmith and a clothing worker, and you had your woodworkers, and they would have their communities where they could all saved, all, but they would make their own community. And those Vaudois, as it was called in the French, became the Waldensians. And they had 4 places where they would train their pastors. They would send the men that were called to preach to these places. They had 3 years to memorize. In your Bible, if you looked at it, it's about the same. The New Testament, from Matthew to Revelation. And if you were called to preach, you were given 3 years where all you did was memorize the New Testament. And then as the Catholic soldiers, you've got to keep in mind, it was illegal to have a Bible. So as the Catholic soldiers would come, the Vaudois were always working in they were called barbes. A pastor in French is called barbe. That's how come it was a Barbie college. It had nothing to do with Barbie and Ken. Okay? Nothing. All right? But they would go there, and as the Catholics would come and raid the village, they'd take all the Bibles and burn them. As they'd see them coming, they'd say, quick, put the, and they would, and the ladies would take the pages of scripture. Keep in mind, it was animal skin. They would take and put it in loaves of bread that they were kneading. Then they'd put that bread into the oven, because the soldiers wouldn't look in the oven that was fire. They didn't want to deal with that. They'd take the Bibles that were out in the open and they'd pile them and they'd burn them. They'd say, against the decree of the Pope for you to have this. And then they'd ride off. And as they rode off, they'd pull that bread out of the oven. They'd break that bread, take those leaves out. Isn't that amazing? The bread of life they would pull from loaves of bread. And whatever they didn't have, then they'd gather as a church. Listen closely. They'd gather as a church and say, we're missing these 18 of the 27 books of the New Testament. And in every church, they would have families memorize books of the Bible. If it was a book of Matthew, 28 chapters, this family memorizes verses 1 through 14, and this family memorizes 15 through 28, and this family memorizes. They would gather as a church. They would say, we need the book of Matthew. We need the book of Ephesians. We lost the book of Philippians. And that family would stand and quote. And then those men would pen the scriptures again. You think about that just for a second. If they took your Bible, how much could you quote? Let me reverse it for a second. Now, we don't do this, but what would you think if you joined our church and there's nothing in the Bible that says you got to memorize a whole book, right? But what would happen if we incorporated what they did years ago, and if we said, oh, you want to join our church? We'd love to have you. Tell you what, we need somebody to memorize the book of Philippians and Ephesians. Could you do that for us? Can you imagine the griping people would do? Man, to join that church, you got to memorize scripture. Not just 3 verses, a whole stinking book. I mean, the criticism would go throughout the community like, okay, we don't do that. But if we did, it'd make for a healthy church, wouldn't it? Now, we don't. We're not on the verge. I'm not going to bring that up next year. Hey, I got a new idea. Okay, I'm not going to do that. I'm just saying, isn't history convicting when you find out what the old Christians, when they didn't have a Bible? Richard Warmbrandt, when they tortured him in Romania, stripped him naked and put him in a hole 300 feet in the ground for 3 days at a time, only giving him the water that he needed to live. He said in total darkness, they put him in a cage. And he said, when I had no light, he said, they took my Bible from me, watch, but they couldn't take the Bible that I had in my heart and my prayer life. And what kept me from going insane was my prayers to God and quoting scripture. You'd be put in total darkness and confinement for 3 days. Total darkness. You can't see nothing. Yeah, some go insane. How'd he keep it through that torture that the communists put him through and his people in his church? You want a book to read? Read Tortured for Christ by Richard Warmbrandt. It'll change your life. All I'm saying is, let me just go back to the statement. We'll keep on going. If they took our Bibles tomorrow, mine's on my phone. Oh, yeah, if they deleted it off your phone. Oh, they'd never do that. Oh, really? I'm glad your belief in Google is so strong. You need to pay attention to what's going on. No, they know exactly what's on your phone. And if they want to take something off your phone, they can take it off that fast. If I were you, I'd get you a Bible like this. Get you something that's tangible. I have a Bible on my phone. I got a Bible on my tablet. But there's no substitute for a book you can hold. Amen? There's no substitute for this. But if they did, like they did in Germany, like they did in Russia, like they've done in China, like they've done, if they came to take your Bible, Christian, how much would you have with you? Would you have more than John 3:16? I got John 3:16. Good. John 11:35. Jesus wept. Shortest verse in the Bible. Yeah, I got it. I'm glad you do. God bless you. Shortest verse in the Bible. Two words. Great. Memorize some more. Amen. I've been around Christian school teenagers too much. Okay. You know, anytime it's time to memorize a verse. John 11:35. Really? It's just two words. We memorize a chapter in Proverbs, you know. Everybody runs to Proverbs chapter 9, you know, shortest chapter. And I'm used to the cop-outs, okay? Here we go. This morning, number one, why should you memorize the Bible? So you can always have God's precious word with you. Number two, how come you should memorize? Take your Bible and go to Proverbs 2. Ready? Proverbs chapter 2. So you can understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. Proverbs chapter 2. The 22 verses in this chapter are amazing for the benefits of receiving God's word and hiding it in your heart. It starts with verse number 1, Proverbs chapter 2. Watch verse 1. My son, if thou wilt receive my words, that's the word of God, and hide my commandments with thee, if you'll memorize God's word, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom, and apply thy heart to understanding. Yea, watch this. If you cry after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding. You know what God's saying? If you'll just want it. Have you noticed that's an issue with memory? If you want it, you do it. If you like it, that's why I said hide it in your heart. Make it something that you'll allow yourself to love. Right? If you'll cry, lift up your voice and cry for it. He's talking about a strong desire and want. When God's word becomes important enough for you to memorize it, look at verse 4. If thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, key word, verse 5, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Watch this. For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. This is the word of God. This is what proceeds out of his mouth. These are his words. These are the words of God. This is what God has spoken. This is how you get wisdom. God says, when you read and you memorize and you study my word, I give you wisdom and understanding. Okay? Notice this. Verse number 9. If you'll do those things, then, verse 9, shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. Notice this, when wisdom entereth into thine heart, when you want God's wisdom, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee from two things I've got marked in my Bible. Verse number 12, to deliver thee from the way of the evil man, and verse 16, to deliver thee from the strange woman. What's the evil man? Notice this, verse 12, to deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh froward things, who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness. God says, if you'll memorize my word, I'll give you protection against people like that. You know the main trait of an evil man? He's someone who leaves the paths of righteousness. You can't leave the path of righteousness if you're not first on it. An evil man is somebody who says, oh, I used to go to church. Oh, yeah, you're going, I used to go to Baptist church. Yeah, I don't do that anymore. They're not in church anymore. That's an evil man. They've left the paths of righteousness, and now they do their own thing, right? God says, I want to protect you from the evil man, verse number 12. And then notice the trait of a strange woman or a whore. She has the same qualities. Look at verse number 16. To deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger which flattereth with her words. Notice verse 17. Which forsaketh the guide of her youth and forgetteth the covenant of her God. The evil man leaves the paths of uprightness. He used to go to church. He used to do right. He used to care about the Bible. Now he's turned his back and he's apostatized his heart to God, and the strange woman is one who forsakes the guide of her youth. What's that mean? Oh, as a young person, yeah, I was in church when I was young. Yeah, I don't do that anymore. Right? She forsook the covenant of her God. Yeah, I gave my life to the Lord. Yeah, that was kid stuff. Yeah, I don't do that anymore. You know how many people I knock on doors and I meet like that? Yes, I'm Pastor Gospel Light Baptist. I used to go to church. Well, hey, you're always welcome at our church. No, God says He gives you His word and wisdom to protect you from evil people who've turned their back on God and the whores and the immorality that is out there. Look, Satan's greatest trophy case piece are the Christians that used to go to church. Right? Right? We're almost at the end of the chapter. Watch this. Verse 18, for her house inclineth unto death, and her paths unto the dead. None that go unto her return again, neither take they hold of the paths of life. That thou mayest walk in the way of good men, and keep the paths of the righteous. For the upright shall dwell in the land, and the perfect shall remain in it, but the wicked shall be cut off from the earth, and the transgressors shall be rooted out of it. Number one, why should you memorize the Bible? So you can always have God's precious word with you. Number two, so you can understand righteousness and judgment, equity, and every good path, like it says in Proverbs 2. And number three, go to Psalm 138. Psalm 138. Go back one book to Psalms and look at chapter 138. I want you to go to John chapter 1. We're going to close with John chapter 1 this morning, okay? Jesus said, you're going to John chapter 1. I'm going to give to you the rest of it. John chapter 1. Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in spirit, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. The more you learn that book, the more peace God gives you. You know, you say, why? Because you're learning about Jesus. That book, if you have a King James Bible, that book is Jesus. That is the written word of God. He is the living word of God. Jesus is that book with flesh on him. Both are eternal. Look, didn't I just tell you, a church that draws your attention to the Bible, that's safety, right? Stick with the book. That book is more important than you could ever imagine. Jesus said, learn of me, Matthew chapter 11. Seven times, Jesus is called the Word in your Bible. Three times in verse 1, right? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That's three times. When you look at verse 14, it says, and the Word became flesh. That's four times in one chapter. 1 John 1:1, don't go there. It says it again. Jesus is capital W, the Word. 1 John 5:7, that's going to be the sixth time. And the seventh time is Revelation 19:13, and His name shall be called the Word of God. Would you like to know one of the names of Jesus? Is the Word of God. Now with that in mind, you're in John chapter 1. And when God introduces you to Jesus in verses 1 through 5, look at verse 6 real quick. Watch this. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. So verses 6 through 8 is when God introduces you to John the Baptist, right? So verses 1 through 5 is God introducing you, announcing who Jesus is. He's the Word of God. He's the expression of God. He's the words. He is God. Would you like to know something that's beautiful? How many words are in verses 1 through 5? Count them real quick. Not numbers, just how many words are in verses 1 through 5. Just count them real quick. How many words are in verses 1 through 5? 66. So when God is telling you that Jesus is the Word of God, how many words are in that introduction? 66. How many books are in your Bible? 66. Isn't that beautiful? In all the new versions, all the numbers change. I'm just trying to tell you this morning, you putting God's Word into you, into your heart, is, I'm not being goofy, you're putting Jesus, I know He's already there, but you're putting Jesus into your heart. Isn't that beautiful? No, it needs to be worked at. It's something we're supposed to labor to do. Because God says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. The best way I could help you cleanse your life and get rid of bad habits and things from the past that scar you and you wish weren't there, the best thing I can do is tell you, memorize the Bible. Memorize the Scripture, and it cleanses you. And it helps you. You say, I wish I had thoughts that weren't there, and I've got these memories. Memorize the Bible, and it cleanses you. Because you're putting Jesus into your life. And nothing but good comes from it. That's why this morning we passed out the Scripture CD. If you'll play it and work it, memorize, sing. Sing the song. I know some of them are slow, fast, but don't let that. Sing the songs and put the Bible in your mind, in your heart. Memorize it. And there's more I could teach you on this. Memorizing the Bible is really supposed to be something every Christian works at. Amen? And nothing but good comes from it. I hope this encourages you and helps you this morning. Let's pray. Father, please use this truth this morning. Please. There's so much more we could learn, so much more we could see. Lord, what a book. You've magnified it above your name.